This is Monty in the Morning, the show Phoenix Magazine readers voted number one talk radio show in Arizona.
Number one during your morning commute.
Number one whenever news breaks during your day.
And number one whenever and wherever you want to talk sports.
Now it's time for Monty in the Morning.
Hey, yo, man. How the heck are you? It is Monty. It is Jake. It is the Monty Show. Live on YouTube every day. It is Tuesday, February 23rd, 2021. Do not turn this show off because we are going to have an epic debate over Taco Bell chicken sandwiches.
Just stop. Why? Taco Bell shouldn't be doing chicken sandwiches.
But tell me they don't look amazing.
Oh, I'm sure they're good.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure I'd eat the hell out of them.
And I still want to know why there's no Jack in the Box in Salt Lake City. Because there's no doubt the best fast food is Jack in the Box.
Yeah.
It ain't even close. We're going to talk about that. We are going to talk about a crazy night in the NBA. But I think by far the biggest story is why you haven't hit the subscribe button on YouTube. What? Curveball? Go ahead and hit subscribe on the old YouTube machine. Just open a Google window. Type the Monty Show. And all you need to do... is go ahead and search the Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, the Monty Show. I was adjusting my camera shot.
Oh, okay.
The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, the Monty Show, in Google, and you'll see it all comes up. Our SEO tools are incredible. That would be me. I'm the SEO tool.
Right. You're the best.
I'm the tool of SEO.
The tool.
Hey now. So you'll find our Twitter, our Instagram, YouTube, all of our audio podcasts. God bless you for listening on Spotify and Stitcher and Apple and Google Play. The audio portion of this show just booms. And that's because we talk about the biggest stories in sports, which we're going to do right now. Young Jake, Russell Wilson is the biggest story in sports this morning. In my opinion, the Seattle Seahawks are openly talking about trading Russell Wilson. Now, Mike Silver of NFL Network says that one-third of teams around the NFL have called the Seahawks asking about a Russell Wilson trade. And they were told it will be a minimum of three first-round picks, Jake.
Yeah,
good, bad, what are your thoughts?
I think that, first of all, the fact that we're even having this conversation is beyond me. I mean, I don't know where or how you as an organization get to a point where you're like, yeah, we'll trade Russell Wilson. I don't understand how we're even saying that. This guy has taken and won a Super Bowl. He took you to another one and lost it to the Patriots.
On a terrible play call.
On a terrible play call. Yeah, why wouldn't we hand it off, as everybody knows? And so I just it leaves me in a position where I'm just like, man, like what are you guys doing? Like, why not? And remember, this all stems from the idea that Russell Wilson wants to be included more in roster decisions. We've heard this in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. We've seen it before with Tom Brady. The only difference was with Tom Brady, it never became a big deal because Tom Brady was winning and everything was great. And you notice what Tom Brady's always had. Pretty much has always had a great offensive line, which is what Russell Wilson wants. And I don't blame him. When you get hit as much as he gets hit, I'd want an offensive line too, especially as I start, you know, progressing deeper into my career and physically can't take as much of a beating. So I just think that this is the Seahawks making a fool of themselves. Rather than beef up your offensive line, you'd trade a Hall of Famer. It just is dumb to me.
I understand why they would entertain it. I mean, I think, let's be really honest, and I think this is part of the issue in sports, is that we're not really honest about how, who, and where teams are. Like, where are the Seattle Seahawks? They're a good, not a great team. Where are they going? Well, nowhere right now. You know, like, this offseason is really important for them. I thought last offseason, DK Metcalf, you know, the way that they were able to throw the ball was great. But again, they didn't improve their offensive line.
Yeah.
So you have a guy that's a perennial MVP candidate who is getting hit a lot, and now he's vocalizing that. That's where they are. Where they're going is a great unknown. But I think if you're the Seattle Seahawks, you have to realize you are not one of the elite teams in the NFC. But the other thing you realize is that it doesn't take a long time to get there. when you are the Tampa Bay Bradys, all you do is go out and trade for Tom Brady and get Rob Gronkowski, and all of a sudden you're a Super Bowl winner. It's that easy, I think. It's not. When you are the New Orleans Saints and you have Drew Brees teetering on the verge of retirement, go get Russell Wilson and push Drew Brees into retirement. Because if you are the Saints, you want Drew Brees to retire.
Yeah.
If you are the Carolina Panthers, you're going to dump as much roster as you can to open up cap space for what you thought was going to be Deshaun Watson. Go give up 3 first-round picks if you're the Carolina Panthers to get Russell Wilson. But I guess my biggest question is, who's that one team in the NFL that can do this? Because I don't think there's any question, and maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But I think it is, as crazy as it sounds, it's not the end of the world if you're the Seahawks to trade Russell Wilson.
Yeah, dude, I can't be even good with saying it. Like, dude, the guy is a Hall of Famer. The guy is the best quarterback that franchise has ever seen. And you want to talk about trading this guy instead of just beefing up your roster? Like, okay, cool. So when you trade him, you're cool with not being good for a couple years, right? Like, that's that, like, I hope the Seahawks front office has that understanding that if you trade for 3 first round picks, you're not going to be good. You're not. It's going to be like a 3 to 5 year window where you're just not very good. And by the way, that division's only going up. I don't know if you saw what the Rams did. I don't know if you've seen that the Cardinals are getting better, but that division is only going up. And imagine if the 49ers were to get Deshaun, you know? So I don't know. It just seems silly. You're going from contending to win a division to essentially being the worst team in the division by trading this guy. And look, I get it. You know, it's not often that you're able to leverage a player for 3 first-round picks and possibly a 4th pick, which would be in the second round. Not often that kind of situation is presented to you. But I guess, to me, this is one of those situations where it's like, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. This guy is a difference maker. He should be, like, legit, Russell Wilson is one of those few guys who I could honestly say, like, okay, I could see Russell Wilson being a lifetime Seahawk. I really could see that. You know, he's got the legacy. You know, he's done some great things for him. Like, why would you trade him? Is it just simply because you're upset that he went to the media? He went on the Dan Patrick Show, what was that, like 6 weeks ago now or whatever it was, and talked about it? Are you that pissed about that? Is that what all this is about? Like, that. So it just seems kind of petty to me overall.
I think there's a real good chance that's what they're upset about. I think that guys like Snyder and Carroll and, you know, the ownership in Seattle don't like being called out. And I think that's what Russell Wilson did. I think Russell Wilson has seen the damage that's being done to him. And I think he knows that he should have 2, not 1.
Yeah.
I think he sees that in Seattle, they're further away from a Super Bowl than they are closer to it.
Agreed.
And I think when you see the Rams go and get Matthew Stafford, I think you know the 49ers are doing everything they can do to get you know, Deshaun Watson, and you know they're going to do it. I if I'm Russell Wilson, I'm looking for an exit hatch as well. Because I don't, you know what the problem is? I don't feel like Seattle as an organization values Russell Wilson. I think Russell, his entire career has flown under the radar. Mm-hmm. I think he does not get the respect that he deserves. Everybody talks about Tom Brady as an MVP. Russell Wilson is as good a quarterback as exists in the NFL. There are a few that I would take over Russ. And you know, frankly, I don't know how many I would take over Russ. I mean, I'm taking Russ over Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Are you taking Russ over Deshaun Watson? I am.
Yes.
I am, absolutely. Like, who right now today, who's the best quarterback in the NFL?
Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes or Russell Wilson?
Mahomes.
I think it's close.
It is close, but I would take Mahomes. He's younger. He's got more. He's got less miles on him right now, but, you know, and he's got a Super Bowl already.
He's another guy that's taken a beating, though.
He is. And I think when we compare Russell Wilson to quarterbacks, I think it's really interesting that he's able to be compared to guys like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and, like, the best of the best, because, frankly, he's earned that. And this is like, why this conversation is so asinine to me. Because you're talking about a guy who is in the top tier of quarterback. I mean, Russell Wilson is Aaron Rodgers. Russell Wilson is Tom Brady in terms of play on the field. I'm not talking legacies. I'm talking play on the field today, right? He is with those guys. He's won a Super Bowl. He's done everything he needs to do. And what is he getting for it?
Not much.
Well, you know, we'll trade you for yeah, we'll talk to 30% of the league and we'll tell him we need 3 first round picks and a second round pick, and there you go. You can have our boy. I mean, that's what happens. And so I guess my whole point here is just that I don't want to hear from Seahawk fans. I don't want to hear from the organization that oh well, you know, we gotta get better after you trade him. I don't want to hear the political, you know, the typical, you know, front office, you know, jargon about how, oh well, you know, we just gotta develop our young talent and then we'll be better. No, douche, you traded away your Hall of Famer and now you're upset you're not good. Like that's what's gonna happen. If you trade this guy, inevitably you're gonna go in the draft, you're gonna miss on one of those picks, you might hit on 2 of those picks, and you know, then I guess that's just where you are. Like, that's where that leaves you. By the way, what happens to DK Metcalf if you trade Russell Wilson? Is he going to be upset? You can't tell me he's just going to sit around and just be content with being on a crap team.
I would think not.
So, you know, I don't know, man. This is just a really, like, organizationally speaking, this is a dumb thing to be doing. Like, this is not smart.
Well, but I think, again, this comes back to knowing who you are, knowing where you are, and knowing where you're going.
Agreed, yeah.
And I for the first time, and I know this sounds crazy, I think that there is some real credence to, as a football organization, I think the Seahawks are faltering. And I haven't said that, and I don't say that lightly, because that's a hell of a football organization. Front office, you know, all the way down. Ownership, all the way down.
Yeah.
But I think they are open to trading Russell Wilson. And I think it's crazy, but I understand why they're doing it. I think that if you trade Russell Wilson, it allows you to unload some of the guys that, you know, you are going to have to pay a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think it allows you to kind of hit the reset button. But here's my other question. If you trade Russell Wilson, do you wind up being the Dave Craig Seattle Seahawks? Do you wind up being the Kingdom Seattle Seahawks?
Do you wind up being the Seahawks that don't exist before Pete Carroll got there? Because that's essentially what you are as an organization. I think people forget about this. Pete Carroll's been there. I think he's been there now more than 10 years. Like, I think it's been over 10 years now. They were nothing before Pete Carroll got there. They were awful. I mean, you're talking about Hasselbeck years. Like, you're talking about not a good football team. And Carroll comes in. They're able to get Russ. They get DK. They do some nice things. They win a Super Bowl. They go to another one. Like, everything was cool. And I just, for the life of me, I feel like, and this happens in sports sometimes, where whether it is the NBA or Major League Baseball, whatever it is, like, we hear athletes voice their displeasure, and all of a sudden it's like, all right, trade this guy. He's out of here. Done. Never mind the fact that he's one of the main reasons we've had success over the last 10 years. Like, that's the part I can't get over in sports.
Yeah, I just think that we don't respect the performance of guys like Russell Wilson enough.
Yeah.
I think we take them for granted. I think New England took Tom Brady for granted. I think if you look around the NFL, there's no doubt the Texans just assumed that Deshaun Watson was going to be there. I think we don't do enough to protect the quarterback. And I say this every time this comes up. If you look at Russell, if you look at Deshaun, you look at the quarterbacks that are on the market.
Stafford.
What do those guys have in common? They weren't given the support that they need. And it drives them to insanity. Matthew Stafford took a beating in Detroit. If they have been mediocre, you lost Calvin Johnson. Like, you haven't supported him with running backs and wide receivers. You look at Tom Brady. You've never given him a frontline top of the table running back. He's never had a full complement of wide receivers that were elite. I mean, he had Randy Moss. They didn't win a Super Bowl with Moss, right? You know, he's had flashes. They've tried.
Ocho Cinco.
Didn't work out at all. Complete bust in New England.
Yep.
Right? They've tried with Antonio Brown.
Yep.
They've tried with all of these different guys, and it just hasn't worked. The one clear issue in Seattle has been that this team has not supported Russell Wilson with an offensive line that can really keep him upright. And especially since the Super Bowl, let's just say.
Yeah.
they've not been able to keep him upright. Well, and it starts with attrition. It starts with, you know, you lose a guy like Marshawn Lynch who you took for granted.
Yeah.
You know, you lose, you until DK, and I don't even know that I would put DK in an elite wide receiver status yet, but you haven't had go-to elite top off the defense wide receivers. Mm-hmm. It's been guys like Jerry Rice at the end of his career. You know, it's been, and you've got good wide receivers. I mean, you've gone through guys like Jimmy Graham, who gave you some really good years in Seattle. Wasn't, there's no doubt about that.
Wasn't Percy Harvin a Seahawk for a minute?
For a minute. Percy Harvin was a Seahawk.
Yeah.
But you haven't, how many all-pro wide receivers have come out of Russell Wilson's career?
They have.
How many all-pro running backs have come out of Russell's career?
I mean, it's not many, man. It really isn't.
When have you had consistency on the offensive line? I mean, they have won despite their issues.
Yeah.
And this is the ultimate problem. And maybe this is where teams like the Arizona Cardinals are at. You've won not enough, but just too much.
Mm-hmm.
Because that piece of steak is dangling right in front of your nose. And you feel like you're just about to grasp it.
Yep.
And you're not. And I look at the Seattle Seahawks that way. And sometimes winning a Super Bowl is the worst thing in the world that happens. Because it's really hard to win another one. And they got there. They were on the doorstep of winning another one. And one of the worst play calls in history happened. Right? So you've paid Russell Wilson good money. You've paid him at the top of the NFL for a moment. But you haven't supported him.
Yeah, and looking at his contract situation, I guess
this
kind of makes sense too. He's got an out after the 2021 season. So, you know, he's in that situation. But, the thing that I'm looking at here is the annual number is in the 30s, you know? And I think that for Russell Wilson, you know, he understands that he could potentially, like, if Russell Wilson hit the open market, he'd be a $40 million a year guy. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, probably. I mean, if he was a free agent right now today, I mean, they'd tag him multiple times. I don't see that. If he were a free agent in some crazy scenario, if he became a free agent, I think he would be. He'd be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
So my point just is that if you're Russell Wilson, you have the confidence and the understanding that, hey, I'm going to be in a good spot. Like the teams around the league value me. I've done a lot of great things. And if my time in Seattle is done, my time is done. And I think that's the attitude he's kind of taken, which has kind of facilitated this.
But do you understand how good this guy is? Like, do you think anybody really appreciates how good Russell Wilson is? I mean, this guy, I'm telling you, this guy is the best of the best.
Yeah.
He is elite. He is.
By the way, it should be noted he does have a full no trade clause in his contract. So he has some control in that sense, too.
Yeah. He is really good. You know, he is, there's no better human than Russell Wilson. He's a Walter Payton Man of the Year, right? I mean,
that's what I'm saying. This is stupid.
But I understand it. I think that there just comes a point, and I'm not saying Russ is there yet. By the way, I don't think they're going to trade him. Let's just be honest. But I think there comes a point where you have to trade Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
You have to.
They aren't there yet, though.
The Seahawks are not where the Texans are.
No.
And I don't think you have to trade him.
But will say is I think that the going from where the Seahawks are with Russell Wilson to where the Texans are with Deshaun can happen very quickly. Like, very quickly. That situation in Seattle could go it could be literally parallel to the Texans situation really quickly. So that's why it's just really interesting to me. Like, it came out of the blue when Russell Wilson went to the media about it, right? And everybody knew. It was no secret that the guy was, you know, he was getting beat up in these games. It was no secret.
Yeah.
But, like, at the same time, there's a difference between getting beat up in a game and trying to work with the front office and then going out to the media. And Russ says that he had multiple conversations with Pete Carroll. He met with the front office and felt like they just didn't, you know, care too much. And that's what caused him to go to the media. And so when you come out and you explain that whole thing on a show like Dan Patrick, a nationally syndicated show that is, you know, a powerful brand, people listen to that show, That's definitely going to rock the boat.
Yeah, but I the boat needs to be rocked in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no doubt about that. Like, I was looking at their roster build last night, and their offensive line is not good.
Yeah.
I mean, their running backs are okay, but you need DK Metcalf to continue to have huge seasons. Like, just looking at their wide receivers, like, I like Tyler Lockett. I mean, he's a good, not great wide receiver.
He's solid.
I like David Moore, who's a good, not great wide receiver. You know, if you look at their wide receiver group, DK Metcalf is the guy that is everything you want. And
yes.
And Tyler Lockett fits in very nicely underneath and behind him.
Yes.
Right? But if you look at their tight ends, is Will Disley ever going to be an elite tight end?
No.
Is he an elite tight end now? He's not a bad tight end. I'd love him on the Chicago Bears.
He's not crappy, but there's a difference between being good and being Travis Kelce, and he ain't Travis Kelce.
Yeah, I think you need an elite tight end.
Yeah.
I think you do. I look at their offensive line. I mean, they have got to invest in offensive line. I look at their running backs. Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde and Rashad Penny are good twos.
That's a nice core. They don't have a great A.
They don't have an elite running back.
Yeah.
They don't have the skill players, tackles, wide receivers, running backs, to support an elite MVP candidate, perennial MVP candidate, or Russell Wilson. They don't have the skill players in place to do that. And if I'm Russell Wilson, I'm tired of getting my ass handed to me, and I'm tired of not being an elite football team because I'm an elite football player. And it's what Nick Saban says all the time.
Oh, boy, here it comes.
Right? Well, but I'm serious. Elite people don't want to be around mediocre people, and mediocre people don't want to be around elite people.
Yeah.
Why is that? Because when you are elite and you are, you know, performing at the top of your game, it is really difficult to look somebody who, for whatever reason, who's mediocre, average talent, it's really hard to look them in the eye and know, hey, are you making you're always questioning them.
Yeah.
Right? And mediocre people don't want to be around elite performers because mediocre people don't want to work hard. 9 out of 10 people never get their best because they're not willing to give their best.
Right.
To get your best, you have to give your best.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I say that all the time. People on my team at Yelp are tired of hearing me say that, but I think I've said that 10 times in the last week. To get your best, you got to give your best.
Yeah.
And so many people just are not willing to give their best. They're not willing to give 100. Do I always give 100? No. Does Russell Wilson on the football field? I believe he does.
Yeah.
I believe he does. That's why he's an NFL quarterback, and that's why I'm fat. There's just, I mean, it just is that kind of delineation in life. You know, it is what it is. Anyway, if I'm the Seattle Seahawks, it's not the end of the world to trade Russell Wilson, but I wouldn't do it. Now, if you gave me 3 firsts and a second, if the Seahawks get 3 firsts in Marshawn Lattimore from the Saints,
mm-hmm.
And I'll answer the question, the absolute one team that should be trading for him, in my opinion, the New England Patriots should do everything they can do to get him because he is a replacement for Tom Brady.
Yes.
And he doesn't care about being the guy that came in after Tom Brady.
No, because he's just as good.
Look, I'd love the Bears to go get him. They're never going to do that.
That ain't going to happen.
They're never going to do that.
That ain't going to happen.
Right? I mean, I would. There are places I think he'd be a great fit in Miami, Carolina, Houston. Those teams are not on his level.
Pittsburgh.
Oh, he'd be great in Pittsburgh. But see, this is the thing. Not to belabor this point, and I don't mean to go back to this. How many of these teams we're talking about right now have the balls to make a decision on Ben Roethlisberger?
Two. The Steelers have the balls. And the Patriots have the balls.
I'm curious if the Steelers will bring back Ben Roethlisberger at any level. Because I wouldn't if I were them. I'd move on. You have a chance. By the way, Mike Tomlin tested positive for COVID yesterday. I don't know how many people saw that. So best of luck to Mike. But do we have a chance where you have what is still believed to be an elite head coach?
Yeah.
You have good talent on that roster. You have really good defensive talent.
Just need a quarterback.
Are you ready to move on? Are you ready to go make a trade for Russell Wilson? For Deshaun Watson? Are you telling me if the Steelers got Deshaun Watson, he wouldn't go there? Come on. Come on. He'd go there.
I do agree he would go there.
Yeah. I mean, if you're Deshaun Watson and Carolina's on one phone and Pittsburgh's on the other.
Pittsburgh.
I'm probably going to Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Pittsburgh.
Right?
Yep.
I don't know, man. I don't know that the Steelers in their current incarnation have the balls to cut Ben Roethlisberger.
Luke. It's definitely time, but I think that that conversation comes up all the time in specifically in the NFL because you have to be so cold-blooded. Like you can't hesitate in situations like Roethlisberger. You got to move on. I mean, the guy is just. He's done. Like he really is done. Like that. Like as much as people joke about saying that about Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger is clearly years behind Tom Brady.
Listen, Barry, I love you.
Oh God.
But Barry's like, how come you're not talking about how testicle-less the Chicago Bears are? I just said that, dude. I just said that, and I know you're probably just tuning in. Because you're old and you sleep in a little later after, and you don't turn the show on until you get your Mucilix. We get it. Why aren't the New York Giants? Is Daniel Jones a forever quarterback? Give me three first-round picks and Daniel Jones for Russell Wilson.
See you later.
Let's do it.
See you later.
Right? Yes. Giants don't have the balls to do it.
Nope.
There aren't many teams who do.
Is it really that ballsy of a move, though?
Oh, my God. To trade three first-round picks? And your starting quarterback to go and get another quarterback. Yes. You better win a Super Bowl. Well, this is what I said about the Bears and Khalil Mack.
But if you're the Bears, it's good enough to get to a Super Bowl.
It's not.
It is.
Man, you gave up and you crippled
versus
yourself.
Versus what? Versus what? They're already a crap organization.
Right,
like,
but
like,
when you
take
make
the leap of faith.
When you trade 86 first round picks to get a defensive end, you better be one defensive end away from going to the Super Bowl, and they were not.
Excellent strategy, sir.
Yeah, they were not. They were not. Right? So I look at the L.A. Rams. The L.A. Rams are a quarterback away from going to the Super Bowl every year.
Uh-huh.
And guess what? Now they have a quarterback. They're going to win the West.
Uh-huh.
I have no doubt about that. Right? I look at the Detroit Lions. They were never going to the Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford or any other quarterback. That's not going
to
happen.
It kind of all went sideways when you told that little guy over there, Megatron, to kind of go piss
yeah.
off. You know,
hey,
like,
fuck off. Yeah. We're going to go get somebody else and stuff. Right? You know, like, we're going to go get, you know, I can't remember the guy, the little short 15, number 15, the wide receiver who plays for the Giants now, who was into, anyway, the point is, there are so few teams who are willing to do what it takes to win. And right now, when you have Russell Wilson, just get some offensive line help. That's all. It's not like the guy wants 20 wide receivers, 5 running backs, and 26 left tackles. The guy just wants a couple of tackles who can stay healthy and play football.
Here's the game plan.
Give me an offensive line.
That's the
Thank
game
you.
Plan.
Thank
I'll
you.
Just go home and bang Sierra, and you'll never hear from me except on game day.
Yeah.
Right? I'm good with that.
Yes.
Bang, bang.
Yes.
You know, like, I'm good with that. They won't do it, and I don't understand it. Well, we got to spend more money on old defensive players here in Seattle. Pete Carroll chewing his gum, all right?
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Right? That's what I'm saying. By the way, how long do you ride with Pete Carroll?
For a while. Yeah. Because
he's
a good
90.
Head coach. He's good. He's not 90, dude.
Bro, he's in his 70s, late 70s, is he not? I mean, I could be wrong about that, I guess, but I'm pretty
Bro,
sure.
The White Sox hired Tony La Russa. I'm pretty sure that Pete Carroll can get it done in a football game.
Hey, he's 69. Right? I mean, he's 70 years old.
Cocaine and hookers, my friend.
Yeah. Pete Carroll has whatever. Hey, man, whatever Pete Carroll uses to get by every day, because it ain't bazooka, that whatever that gum he's chewing, it's probably got like weed in it or something.
How the fuck else would you do this job?
Yeah. Like, if you're Pete Carroll and you're 69, maybe hookers are the answer. I don't know. All right. Make sure you smash that subscribe button. Some good comments. William. William from Draper, do you ever have anything good to say
first
about our show?
First of all, before we read the comment, I just would like to say thank you, William, for continuing to comment. I do appreciate it,
yeah.
And I do appreciate you watching. Now, let's get to ripping your asinine takes on sports.
Monty, you spent 2 years in Salt Lake City saying that Colin Kaepernick was better than Russell Wilson. Now, all of a sudden, you're shining Russ. Well, at the time, I mean, I think Colin Kaepernick
right
and Russell Wilson were very – talk about a product of a terrible organization. At the time, the San Francisco 49ers were a really bad organization, right? I've said for years now that Russell Wilson is an elite quarterback who's a perennial MVP candidate.
Here's what Will's trying to do right now. Will's trying to hold your feet to the fire and take a comment out of context that was made 2 years ago about Colin Kaepernick. The thing that you don't want to hear, Will, is that Colin Kaepernick at the time was just as good as Russell Wilson. By the way, let's not forget, Colin Kaepernick dominated the Packers in the NFC Championship game, both on the ground and through the air. And by the way, he was one throw away from being a Super Bowl champion before his career was ended for taking a knee. So, you know, let's not forget how good Colin Kaepernick was, because for the short time he was in the league, he was elite.
Yeah, Aresh says, I am a diehard Dallas Cowboy fan. They can have Dak. I'll take Russ. Well, the Cowboys are another one that's just kind of hanging out there with Dak.
Well, they're going to tag him. I just think
well, there's
that,
no doubt about
they're,
that.
They're
the deadline is fast
just,
approaching.
Yeah, I agree. I would take Russell Wilson over Dak Prescott, 100%.
Yeah,
I would.
And by the way, it looks like Dak is going to be well ahead of schedule on the recovery from that busted ankle.
Oh, I'm
thing.
Sure he is.
Yeah, he's going to be. I'm surprised it's gone on this long.
The contract thing or the injury thing?
The direction thing. Like the relationship between Dak and the Cowboys. You can't tell me, and this Russ plays into this as well. Deshaun plays into this as well.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot tell me that the relationship between the quarterback and the club in these situations isn't permanently damaged.
Well, I think the Dak thing is interesting because the fact is we really just don't know. Like we don't know where he is with Jerry. You know, are they on the same page? Are they on the same page with the idea that, hey, we're going to tag you this year, and then we're going to get you the contract next year? Are they not on the same page? Is Dak just sitting waiting for a call about, hey, why don't you come in and we'll sign this deal? Or, hey, we're going to tag you. Like, is Dak in the dark on things, you know? Like, with the Cowboys situation specifically, I think we just have no idea. But, yeah, with the Deshaun situation, we know exactly what's going on. We know why this relationship is strained. And I do think that Deshaun is committed to sitting this year out if he's not traded. I legit think that he's going to do that to prove a point. And I think in terms of the Russell Wilson situation, obviously we just spent 20 minutes talking about it. I don't think it's 100% over or strained or anything, but I do think there's a bit of tension right now.
Yeah. DM from Marcus.
Wait, what?
I love spam DMs.
Okay.
Marcus, Marcus says, I see you're a big fan of the National Football League. Buy two, get one free jerseys. Authentic, straight from China. Thank you, Marcus. Let me go ahead and report that as spam and block you. Because I've tweeted this morning about Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I like football. I like football season and all the things that go with it.
Yeah, give me Chinese jerseys. It's fine. you know, there you go. You're blocked. I get so much social media trash.
Mm-hmm.
I get more porn spam on Instagram.
Dude, it's daily, man. It's like those group, like you'll see the little request thing.
Yeah.
Like it's like 5-6 times a day. And it's like delete, 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 delete. Like it's just ridiculous, man.
Make sure you follow us on all of those social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, The Monty Show. MONTY, The Monty Show is where you find me. You can find Jake at SLC Supercars, usually tweeting about superchargers on Yugo, but that's fine. SLC Supercars on Instagram and Twitter, The Monty Show. MONTY, The Monty Show on Instagram and Twitter as well. Let's switch gears, talk a little NBA from last night.
Time to piss some people
off.
Like
isn't it like a bloodletting that we didn't lead the show with Jazz or NBA
today? Dude, I'm
today?
Surprised we didn't get any comments on it. I legit thought that we were going to get some comments on that.
No, we're actually, you know, a little thing called football.
Mm-hmm.
Last night in the association, by the way,
yeah.
I don't usually pick on other media members that much.
Mm-hmm.
NBA TV is unwatchable. I don't know who some
well,
of these
really unhearable. Let's be honest.
Seriously. Like, I don't know who some of the people hosting on NBA TV are. I can't watch it.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's, I mean, come on. Anyway, interesting night around the league.
Yeah.
I think the shocker of the night was the Lakers losing in double OT to Bradley Beal and the Washington Wizards. That's a team that's got to be a trade candidate because you're 5-4 without Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm.
You're an average team without him.
Mm-hmm.
You, as we were watching the highlights this morning preparing for the show, you were all about how LeBron's too old. He can't do it anymore. You know, he's done. He's
yeah,
a broken down barnacle.
That's what I said.
You know,
I personally would like an apology.
No, I won't. But you said age is catching up with him. Do you really believe that?
Yeah, I believe in some situations on the floor, you can see that age is catching up. I'm not sitting here saying that somehow like LeBron is not one of the top players in the league or that he's, you know, taken a serious step back. But like there was a highlight we were watching where, you know, ball's in his right hand. He's driving down the right hand side of the paint and he goes up for the layup, but there was a lot of body contact. In prior years, LeBron wins that matchup in the air.
Really?
Right? Yes.
But isn't
you're
but isn't that hindsight being 2020? Aren't you like
no, it's not.
Isn't that
it's
convenient?
No, it's not. It's comparing in a time when we can legitimately say that this is now LeBron and everybody else. He's got to make it work somehow because AD's hurt. This is exactly where he was in the same kind of a setup when he was a Cleveland Cavalier. Really, both times he was a Cavalier, first time and second time. And the difference now is that I think that there are just some situations where he's not quite what he used to be, mainly in the air, going up against a big man who outweighs him, and he's not able to just power through that guy for the layup. And I'm not, again, everyone's going to say, oh, well, you said LeBron fell off. I'm not saying LeBron fell off, but what I am saying is that right now, as a Laker, at what is he, 38 now or 36, wherever he is?
49.
You know, as a Laker in the later stages of his career, it is unfair to expect LeBron to carry this team the same way that he carried the Cavs through the Raptors several years ago or whatever situation you want to look at. So what I'm saying here is that when we talk about teams that could really use Bradley Beal, the Lakers are that team, but they don't have the flexibility, you know? Like, that's what concerns me about the Lakers. They are an average team without Anthony Davis. And that's tough to say when it's a LeBron James-led team.
Yeah, but I also think that LeBron is putting up numbers similar to the rest of his career. I mean, the guy's averaging, what, 25 points a game? If you look at his assist numbers.
What are his numbers in the games that Anthony Davis hasn't played, these last several?
Well, not great. I mean, or very good. I mean, the problem is the outcome has not been what the Lakers desire. Like if I pull up his game logs, I mean, the numbers are spectacular. The problem is they're not winning games.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are looking to paint a picture that his numbers fall off when AD's out, I would tell you, you're probably barking up the wrong tree. I look at his last, like if you just look at his last five games.
Yeah.
31, 19, 32, 30, and 22.
So he's right there at the 30-point mark, right? That's
just
essentially
about, yeah,
what he
does. And they're
1-4
in those games.
Right. So what I'm saying is that you can't just lean on LeBron now to continue to give you superhuman performance after superhuman performance the way you used to be able to. I'm not saying.
Man, bro, his numbers are really good. Like,
not saying they're bad. Like this is a very minutia point, but I think it's important. There was a time when you could literally put LeBron James on your team, fill it up with a bunch of role players, and you'd go out and win a championship, right? That's not where LeBron is at anymore. LeBron is still one of the best players in the league, and you could probably make a case that he is the best player in the league all around, whether you want a facilitator, a scorer, a rebounder, whatever. You know, you can make that case. But what I am saying is that the Lakers are not going to win a championship this year with the way this situation currently sits. Right here today, with the way this team is playing, they are not a championship-level team right now, right? Anthony Davis has to come back. Okay, then things change. Then we're back to what they used to be.
He's 6 for his last 37 from three.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're losing.
Well,
I mean, he's not making threes. he's finding other ways to score. But I look at, like, I'm looking at the box last night. The guy plays 43 minutes, gives you 31 points.
Yeah.
But I look at Kyle Kuzma not stepping up on Russell Westbrook and competing at the rim. You know, I look at the fact that LeBron scores 31 and Kantavious scores 21.
Yeah.
And hit some big threes in that game.
And that's what you would expect out of Kantavious.
But LeBron James goes 2 of 10 from 3. Kuzma 4 of 11 from 3. 14 points and 11 boards.
It's a pretty good game out of Kuzma.
But they lose.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because LeBron doesn't have somebody to do the little things with him.
Yeah.
LeBron doesn't have somebody that'll rim run with him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have somebody that he can play high pick and roll and kick the ball down to. He does, you know, he's got, like, it's always been this idea that to play with LeBron James or to build a team around LeBron, you needed a bunch of guys that could shoot threes. He just needs some dudes that can score now. He needs some guys that he can hand the ball to and take a possession off. And without Anthony Davis, he doesn't have that. And I think it's a real plague for him.
I would agree.
You know, like, I look at that game last night, and then I turn around and I look at Phoenix and Portland.
Just Phoenix.
Well, yeah, because Portland didn't show up. They got beat by 32 last night in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And, again, everybody that rips me because I say that Devin Booker's better than Donovan Mitchell, he is.
Mm-hmm.
In a performance like last night where he only shoots 2 3-pointers and scores 34 points, tells you that.
Yeah.
His mid-range game is elite. He is right there now with Paul George as one of the best mid-range players in the NBA.
Yeah. I would say one of the best shooters in the league. I mean, the guy could score.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he fills it up. He gives you 34 points, 4 dimes, 4 rebounds. You know, like, I mean, the guy 8 for 8 from the free throw line.
Well, and I think the real difference, too, when we compare Booker and Donovan is that Donovan is, you know, 6'2", you know, he's shorter, but he's strong. Whereas Book is, I believe, 6'6", 6'7", somewhere in there.
Well, but I mean, he gets 34 points on 17 shots.
Right, but
that's what
I'm getting to. That's what I'm getting to is that Devin Booker with his build is able to get opportunities that Donovan Mitchell is not, because he can get the spots on the floor that Donovan is not able to get to, because Donovan Mitchell is not hitting that patented baseline jumper that all the greats hit, you know, the Kobe Michael baseline jumper that we're so used to.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell is not playing that style of basketball. Donovan Mitchell is a slasher. He is a cutter of a scorer, whereas Devin Booker is much more of a finesse jump shooter kind of guy who will dunk all over you if he gets the opportunity. So,
well, and speaking of the Jazz, obviously last night they finally put the Hornets away in the fourth quarter, just a dominant fourth quarter performance, which they needed desperately. But you talk about Don, I mean, 8 of 17, 23 points, 3 of 8 from 3. Another guy that gives you 8 dimes, 4 boards, a steal. You know, you feel like Donovan Mitchell, who, by the way, is 6 foot, 215 pounds. What is Book? 6'5"?
I think
200?
He's 6'6".
Nah, I don't think he's 6'6". 6'5", 6'6", fine. But you look at Donovan Mitchell, 27 points in his last 10 games. You know, and you start to look at the way that this team, the Jazz, are built. He's the engine that makes it go. And I know everybody who listens to this show is probably sick and tired of hearing me say it.
Devin Booker is 6'6", 206. So he's lighter, but he's taller.
Okay. Are you sure he's 6'6"?
Some people have him at 6'6". Some people have him at 6'5".
Okay, well, there you go. So we're both right.
Yeah.
But you look at the problems for Rudy Gobert last night.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to say this every single show. We'll find a show where we don't have to say it eventually. You look at the problems for Rudy Gobert last night, and they are 100% pace and size. Rudy Gobert has no place in that game last night.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at, they score 132 points last night.
Which is kind of the starting point of the conversation of the people who are going to come into the comments all pissed off saying that Rudy had all those blocks at the end of the game and, like, did a bunch of nice things. And it's like, dude, the Hornets scored 132 points. Like,
no, the Jazz scored 132 points. The Hornets scored 110.
Okay,
you can't give up 64 points or 67 points in the first half if you're the Jazz to the Charlotte Hornets. Rudy Gobert last night, 10 points, 12 boards, 6 blocks.
10 and 12 is a light night for him. I mean, by his standards, that's a light night.
He's usually a
20-rebound guy. So
the problem is pace and size.
Yeah, and I also think there were several times last night, and this is the first time I've really seen an NBA defense do this to Rudy. Last night, it was in the second quarter coming into the half. Mm-hmm. There were about 4 possessions where the Hornets essentially took 3 guys and essentially just wrapped them around the paint. They were playing man, but they were essentially within that man defense playing a zone on Rudy Gobert. They were saying, hey, we're gonna play our man defense, but we're gonna push down to the paint a little bit. We're gonna give the shooters a little more room.
And what were they doing when they were doing that? They were trying to force the ball to Rudy, the Jazz were, and the Hornets were not swiping down.
Mm.
They were knocking the ball up out of his hands.
Yeah, which is smart.
To avoid the foul, LaMelo did it 2-3 times.
Yeah.
Rudy would get the ball, and you would see LaMelo push the ball up and knock it out of his hands. Rudy Gobert and Jazz fans are going to have to, at some point, wrap their heads around this idea that not every game is a good fit for Rudy Gobert, and that it when they're winning, he's fine in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
There's no problem playing Rudy Gobert. When it's tight or you're trailing, he can't be in the game.
Mm-hmm.
He can't. And if you want to play that, you know, that stupid defense-offense switch thing.
Mm-hmm. At the end of a game.
It never works.
Yeah.
It never works.
Yeah, because you don't get any transition.
And I am just telling you again, if you look at the teams where the Jazz have either struggled or lost,
mm-hmm.
Rudy Gobert has been absent for long stretches.
Or exploited.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Or exploited.
And I think that's what we saw in L.A. the other night. And I know, this team's won 50 straight. They lose one, and you hit the panic button. No.
It's not the panic button. Just being real.
We said this during their 86,000-game winning streak, that Rudy Gobert is a good player. He's not a $200 million player. That contract is a mistake. And you're seeing it in the way that this team is built. And if you look at the comments, you know, that we get.
This is very predictable.
Jeremy says, not many play defense in the NBA. The truth was he didn't fit the narrative. He belongs in the NBA. You know, like, I don't disagree with that.
I agree. He's an NBA caliber
There's
big
no
man.
Doubt
There's
about
no
that.
Question. But again, this is the conversation, plain and simple. The Jazz fans want this team to be a championship-level team. I think we can all agree with that.
Yeah, everybody does.
But at the same time, you can't want this team to be a championship caliber team, but then accept the fact or then lie to yourself and essentially accept the fact that you're living in a fantasy land about Rudy Gobert. Like, Rudy Gobert is not going to give you, you know, 20 and 20 against the elite teams. He may get to 20 rebounds. That may happen depending on how the game goes, but he's not going to score 20 points. And that is really the issue.
Patrick says, keep in mind the Clippers played almost perfect defense with PG and Kawhi with fresh legs from load management vacation. While they were both injured, Kawhi was not load managing.
I don't disagree that the Clippers were the fresher team, but let's not make excuses, right?
They only won by 3. Let's see how they fare in a 7-game series. I think the Clippers win a 7-game series. I mean, I think in that series, Rudy Gobert is going to have an awfully difficult time finding a way to impact the game consistently.
Mm-hmm.
All about the memories, sis. I agree with the analysis about the Nets. They will have a hard time sharing the ball. I'm not sure James Harden is the best player on that team, but Rudy should be out at the end of the fourth quarter. There's no doubt about that. It's stubborn to keep him in there.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
You making a comment on what we talked about yesterday.
Yeah, whoever that is, I appreciate that.
The Nets are the best team in the NBA right now.
Yeah, I think the Nets are the best team. I think you can make a case that Harden's not the best player, but with the way he's playing right now, he's the hottest player on their team. I really don't think there's any argument against that.
Man, people are pissed about that Clipper game. Gordon says it's ridiculous. If the Jazz would have hit 2 more 3-point shots, you guys would be claiming how awesome they are.
That just shows you haven't listened to our conversations over the last 2 weeks, right? Last night, 27 3-point makes. Are we sitting here talking about how awesome the Jazz are? No, because they wouldn't have made 27 3-pointers against the Clippers or against a fully healthy Lakers team, you know?
Derek says, you guys are a joke. You put Rudy on any team in the league and he takes them to top five defensively. Well, that's true. I don't disagree
with
that.
We're not talking about top five defensive teams, guy. Stop changing the topic. We're talking about what is holding this team back from being a championship level team.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Find me a team that's got a big on it that doesn't have a jump shot that went to a championship. Find
me
that team.
I don't know who that is.
Find me that team. Find me
the
team. Honestly, there's not one. There's not one.
I don't think you can win in this league anymore. I don't think you can win locking people down defensively. There's too many three-point shots being taken.
Too many three-point shots. Guys are coming up with more development in their game, so they're way more skilled when they're a younger player.
But what happens when you shoot a volume of threes?
You're going to live and die on it. And when you don't make the three, you're going to lose that fourth game in a seven-game series.
And you're going to give up a ton of transition baskets.
Mm-hmm.
And overwhelmingly, teams that shoot a lot of threes tend to turn the ball over more.
And I think the thing for Jazz fans here, and look, I understand like why people are upset, right? I get it.
Oh, sure. Of course I understand why people are upset.
Thanks, Cancun Cruz. I appreciate you supporting the show here. Listen, I get it. Like, I understand why you guys are all pissed off about this. But at the same time, you can't run from the idea that Rudy not being able to pick and pop hurts the Jazz consistently. Look at the other bigs in the league. And I'm not going to play the whole game where we put Rudy Gobert in some like special center position category, and then we're going to put Joel Embiid in a four or Anthony Davis in a four.
Well, just look at DeAndre Ayton.
Okay, great. DeAndre Ayton's a perfect example. Yeah.
DeAndre Ayton has offensive skills.
Mm-hmm.
He has no defensive skills.
Mm-hmm.
But you figure when you're trying to win in this league, you have to score a lot.
Yeah.
Right? So when you have a guy like DeAndre Ayton, you can throw him lobs. You can pick and pop with him because he can make the elbow jumper.
Mm-hmm.
Rudy Gobert
cannot.
And he
can play one-on-one, too.
Yeah, Rudy Gobert, does not play with his back to the basket.
There was a time last night where it was at the end of the game. I believe it was Bogey on the wing who had the ball. It might have been, actually, I think it was Jingles who had the ball on the left wing, right?
That'd be Joe Ingles.
That's Joe Ingles. Okay, sorry, I'm just picking up on what the broadcast does, so I'm just trying to be in the cool kids club here. Listen, Jingles is on the wing. He has the ball. Rudy's posting up a smaller guy. Does Rudy get the ball? Nope. Rudy doesn't get the ball. He's rejected the ball. Come set a screen for me. That's how they play.
They're not going to throw him the ball in the post.
No.
I don't believe they have an offensive set to throw him the ball in the post. I mean, why would you?
By the way, all this is fixed if he would just develop a little bit of a jump shot. I'm not saying that you gotta shoot 80%.
They don't need
field,
him
dude.
To shoot. They need him to shoot an elbow jumper. That's it. But that's not who he is. So they paid him $200 million knowing that. And now they're going to have to kind of suck it on that contract for a minute. Because I don't see how you get around that. All right. I mean, there's a lot. I'll read a few more comments. Mikey comments in just about all of our YouTube videos, so we appreciate that.
Yeah, I appreciate that very much.
Mikey says, take off the purple and gold glasses, Monty. LeBron is not even on Don's level.
Okay.
I'm just going to gloss over that.
Okay.
Jazz are better than the Clippers, Lakers, and the Nuggets. There's nobody in the West who can beat them in a seven-game protracted series. They're too physical.
What the hell is a seven-game protracted series?
A long series. Like a long, drawn-out series. Because they're too physical and they make too many back-breaking threes. I agree that the Jazz have a propensity to shoot threes and make threes that just piss you off.
Of course. That's who they are.
I mean,
But here's the thing. And this is where I think Jazz fans who don't watch every single night, but they watch like every other game, this is what they miss. Because we watch every single game. I can tell you, I turned that game on 12 minutes into the fourth quarter, right? There were 12 minutes left in the first quarter. Like, that's where the game starts, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, when you watch every single game, what you come to understand is that the Clipper game, the reason they didn't win that Clipper game is not because they didn't make two more threes. The reason they lose the Clipper game is because Kawhi Leonard picked up three offensive rebounds against Rudy Gobert late in the game that essentially allowed the Clippers to run out the clock.
Correct.
That's why they lost the game. And so when I'm paying a guy $200 million to be in the paint and keep Kawhi Leonard and his long-ass hands and his big-ass hands just off the ball. No, I'm not going to say it. No, it's not my line. It's your line. I'm not saying it. No.
You will call him Dick Fingers.
No, I'm not doing it.
Yes, you will.
No.
I started having second thoughts.
Yeah, I can't do that, man.
Kawhi Leonard has very vascular fingers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, penis jokes are funny. The point is, yeah, we watch too much Jazz basketball. Mm-hmm. We watch too much NBA basketball. My wife hates it. This will be an ongoing discussion. The Jazz are one of the best teams in the NBA right now. I think the Brooklyn Nets are the best team in the NBA.
Yeah.
Last week it was the Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
This week it's not.
Mm-hmm.
The Clippers, I think, shook their confidence a little bit. And it took them three quarters against the Hornets to get out of that.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Make sure you hit subscribe on our good old YouTube channel there.
New videos.
The Monty Show, MONTY, The Monty Show. Just plug it into Google. Everything comes up.
Do it.
Or search YouTube for The Monty Show, MONTY, The Monty Show. Do you believe in aliens, and should we be landing on Mars? No and yes. It's funny. My wife and I had this conversation yesterday.
Mm.
So there are news stories. If you follow me on the old tweet machine, guess what it is? The Monty Show on Twitter. If you follow me on Twitter, you know that I was tweeting yesterday about aliens and UFOs.
Infowars.com.
absolutely could be. But there have been UFOs buzzing commercial airplanes over New Mexico lately. Area 51 or Area 69, I don't know. But there have been planes reporting flying objects that are cylindrical. And listening to the pilot transcript, I got way too far into this. Listening to the pilot reading the transcript, the pilot literally said to this plane, I hate to even bring this up, but there is a long cylinder type flying object over our plane.
Oh, shit.
Have there been any other reports? And the tower denied that there had been any other reports, of course.
Yeah, of course not.
But 2 weeks earlier, the exact same flying object was seen in that same area over New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
The planes were coming into Phoenix, flying through New Mexico.
Yeah.
Do you believe that there are alien life forms that are flying their spaceships around our planet?
I don't know if I believe all that. I do believe that I can't wrap my head around the idea that somehow we're alone.
Okay, so is it like a World War Z thing where they're going to come and eat that ass, or are we...
Correctamundo!
Yeah, so you think it's going to be like violent aliens, ack-ack, that, you know, are going to show up and shoot us with their ray guns, and they're going to be green, slimy creatures? Like, I don't buy into that.
Who the f*** is that guy?
Yeah, what is that? Right? Like,
I don't know. I don't buy into ray guns and stuff.
I don't know what they look like. Do I think that are there other life forms that have unbelievable technology that somehow have harnessed the sun for a motor and they're flying around the universe? I don't know. I have no idea. Is it impossible? No. But I don't think it's like they make it out and, Captain Kirk went up to planet Hexagon Dickballs and, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like,
let's go somewhere.
Yeah, let's go to planet Dickballs. I don't think that's what this is. I think there are other life forms out there.
Yeah.
And should we be going to Mars? I don't know. Is it cool to see something that you built, essentially a really advanced drone that Kevin built in science class?
Kevin?
You know, like, it's
pumped.
Yeah, it's really cool to see JPL and these people, this group, build this rover, fly it up to Mars, and then yesterday they released video and pictures of it landing on Mars.
Yeah.
It landed the other day. It takes time to beam the pictures back over ray guns and stuff. And, but it's cool to see it.
Yeah.
I can't say that I really care that much.
Why? What? Like, it just is not
important.
That's
my point. No, why? Why is it important that we go to Mars?
At some point, it's a fairyland to think that somehow Earth is going to survive forever. That's not going to happen.
I would agree.
Right? Like, this planet is
not
going to last.
We have too many cows
forever.
Farting.
Yeah, like, it's just not.
Creating too much methane. Yes.
Well, I would love to say that the human race is somehow going to end global warming. And you know, it came out that Bill Gates is coming out with a technology to essentially, you know, block the sun rays from coming through our atmosphere as much to start a global cooling trend. Like, he's trying to come out with something like that. My point just simply is this. Look, we all know the planet's going to end at some point. It's not going to be in our lifetimes. It may not be in my kids' lifetimes or their kids, but certainly 3-4 generations from now, it's going to be more of a problem than it is today. And that's why I think it is important work. Am I sitting here saying that, you know, 10 years from now, Elon is going to colonize Mars like he's talking about? Well, no, I don't think it's going to happen in one decade.
Fat Jesus says Mars has women.
Well, hey, if you like Martians, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
So I said, yeah.
I think it's a big waste of money. What are we learning? And here's the other thing. If Mars was inhabitable, don't you think the aliens would have inhabited it already?
I don't know. I don't know enough about aliens.
You know, like,
I understand why you ask. But
Mars is not just like a walk down the block.
No.
It's fucking far. Like, that's a long flight, man.
Yeah, it is.
And
but it's only, think about it this way. And I think this is the mindset if you're somebody who's interested in this stuff. It's only a long flight because we don't have the technology to make it a faster flight right now, which is part of what this is about. It's we're trying to build, just like 100 years ago or 200 years ago, we didn't have a car. That's what this kind of innovation is about, in my opinion. We're trying to get to a new level, and that's part of this process.
But, yeah. I just wish we took as much time, money, and energy and effort into spaceflight as we would put into taking plastic out of the ocean or stopping cows from farting.
But you know what I'm going to say? That's fantasy land because we're never going to do that.
Right, but we're willing to fucking fly to Mars, but you're not willing to take plastic out of the ocean?
Yes, correct.
Are you kidding me?
That's how our world works, yes.
So every hippie that shops at Starbucks every day and has to get their coffee at Starbucks...
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me that we can't, like, why do I not drink Evian anymore? Because I don't like single-use plastic bottles.
What about Core water?
Well, I would drink Core, but my wife doesn't let me. Because it's single-use plastic, but it's got its own cup as a lid.
And he will every single time.
Yes! Give me Core! But I don't like single-use plastic bottles. I don't like single-use plastic, period. Because my wife has infiltrated my brain.
Kind of like the aliens are?
With this recycling stuff. Right? Like, but you're telling me we can put money into going to Mars, but we can't figure out how to get all the plastic out of the ocean.
I think we know how to get all the plastic out of the ocean. I think people are working on that. I saw a thing this week, earlier in the week, over the weekend, where they have a boat that they've created that's essentially a pontoon boat. But what it does is it essentially just siphons all the stuff off the surface, all the trash and all the, you know, everything that's in the ocean essentially on the surface, and it grinds it up and then burns it for fuel for the boat. So it's turning the trash into the ocean into fuel. So it's just an endless cycle that can run forever to clean the ocean. But obviously the ocean is extremely vast. So
and we still have plastic shopping bags at grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
We still have people that eat at McDonald's and use plastic straws.
Mm-hmm.
Those are not shakes, by the way. I don't know what's in their shakes. Those are not shakes. The point is, I just think there's money more well spent. Let's fix our planet instead of trying to go out and figure out what the rings of Neptune or Saturn or whatever fucking planet has rings. You know what I mean? Like, seriously, why are we exploring space when we haven't even fixed our planet yet?
Because I think we are trying to fix our planet. Those processes are happening already. They're just, you know.
But we're out looking for another place to live because we all know we're never going to fix our planet.
At some point, Earth is not like, as more people are born, right? At some point, we're going to outgrow the planet.
Yeah, I completely disagree with it. It's cool. I'm not against it. I just wish that we could put that money to better use. You know, I think we've spent.
The problem is.
We spent the last 4 years, you know, telling the atmosphere to kiss our ass, and now we're behind the eight ball,
mm-hmm.
and we put so much money into, you know, why do I not eat a lot of red meat anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Now I eat chicken, and poultry farming's terrible, but, you know, like, I don't eat a lot of red meat because I know it's terrible for the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's part of it. Nobody loves a cheeseburger the way I love a cheeseburger, but those things will kill you and us.
Mm-hmm.
So why do I not do that? Why do I go to Taco Bell and eat chicken sandwiches?
Yeah.
Can we end the show talking about the best fast food, please? I'm fat.
Yeah, we got 5 minutes.
And I'm hungry.
Let's go.
What do you make of Taco Bell coming out with a chicken sandwich?
I think that there are gazillions of people like you who don't want to eat red meat anymore, and chicken has exploded. And I think that every...
Rockets are waving DeMarcus Cousins.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. He'll have a job. I wouldn't worry about that. Do we need a Taco Bell chicken sandwich?
Do we need to go to Mars? No.
Okay.
Well, but it's exciting.
So you're
and that's
saying
why
that,
we do it.
So you're saying that the astronauts are eating Taco Bell on their way to Mars?
Yes.
It was an unmanned flight.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the point is, A, Taco Bell is a decadent treat. There's no doubt about that. Like, I like me some Taco Bell.
What's your favorite thing at Taco Bell? Like, if you were going to go, what would you go and get?
Well, I don't go to Taco Bell anymore because those pricks got rid of the Mexican pizza.
Which was one of the best things.
Oh, my God. It was my absolute favorite.
But, what are the other... So, what? A chalupa? You're going to pull the menu up here and make it a lot easier for us, but... You know,
I am going to pull up the menu because I
haven't been to Taco Bell in a minute, dude. I haven't been to Taco Bell in probably...
I haven't been to Taco Bell since Phoenix.
Yeah, so probably like six, 8 months. Probably.
But I'm just telling you now that their crunchy tacos, Supremes...
Yeah, bomb.
You know, I look at their... Like, when they first came out, their double-decker tacos were...
Lit.
Off the chain.
Yeah.
Off the chain. If I look at their different tacos, their chalupas are awesome, right? Their chalupa supreme is probably my favorite taco.
Why?
Because it's got like all kinds of cholesterol and death in it.
Yes.
And that's the stuff that tastes good.